things were preserved. I can remember that if we had a tin of peaches, it was the most terrific treat. Tinned peaches, yes. And with the summer fruit, big trays of wire netting were made, and the fruit put on. They were put out on all the sunny days and turned over and brought in. It sounds like a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. Until the day, it was the most terrific crash, and the shelves in the cellar had fallen down. All the jars were broken. Oh, it was such a mess. To go down to the cellar, it was a big trap door, and you pushed the trap door up and walked down these stairs without any banisters. It was pretty dicey, actually, but nobody ever got hurt.
Wonderful storage.
Yeah.
It'd be cool there, too.
Yeah.
And so when you your children were growing up in the area, did you have a lot of contact with neighbours then, as the neighbours started
excuse me. Not a great deal.
Quite fine.
I think you were still friendly with the people that you were friendly with, and your children were friendly with them. Our children went to Sunday school, and the highlight, I suppose, of the year in those days was the Empire School picnic and the Sunday school picnic, which were held in a rotunda in the other park, and it hadn't any light, and if you had a function there, it had to finish by dark. Mm. And the mothers used to go down and cut up the sandwiches while we had a visiting speaker on Empire Day. I little thought that as I got older, I'd be a visiting speaker.
You were?
Yes. But one of the things that I am thrilled about, and I'd forgotten it till we went to a school concert about a fortnight ago, that I had concocted, or whatever you'd call it, the motto for the Emu Primary School. They were going to get a badge, they were getting a badge, and the headmaster rang me, and he said, "We have one of the ex-students having an emu on a plain background, but we want a motto. Could you suggest anything?" And I think that just straight off I said, "Yes, advance with honour." And my husband said, "Why did you say advance with honour? Why didn't you say up or whatever?" And I said, "Well, you don't know which way the advance is. It could be down. You might want to go down because that's how you're advancing. But as long as you're advancing and you're honourable, to me that's all that matters." I'd forgotten it till my son said the other day, "Mum, I was telling the education man down at the concert tonight that that was your..."
And they've kept it ever since.
Yes. They probably could have come up with a much better one, but that was one they just accepted, I suppose.
And what about, you mentioned the Sunday school. Did the churches play a fairly big role?
Yes, the biggest in the district. There was only the Anglican Church, which is about nearly 140 years old, and the Methodist Church, which is a very tiny little church, and now the Uniting Village is built around it. Presbyterians and Catholics had to go to Penrith, which meant that most Presbyterians went to the Anglican Church. But in my time, it wasn't big enough to have a confirmation service here. We had to go to St. Stephen's in Penrith.
And did you have a ladies' guild there at the church?
Yes. I didn't join it. I was only 16 when it was formed here. But the first meeting I went to, I can't remember when it was, it must have been an annual meeting, and I became the secretary. And on and off, I think it was 37 years I was secretary. And the flower show was the highlight of the district, Emu Plains, and those things were looked forward to. And then I was asked if I'd start be commissioner for the guides, and I thought, yes, that's a good idea, because I have three daughters and there are a lot of girls in this area. And I was commissioner for 11 years. The children hated it when they were guides, because they said everyone expected them to do so well. But the two elder ones subsequently became warranted guiders themselves, captains of, and then I saw a need to have hospital auxiliary, so I started that. And I was president of that.
That's Emu Plains Hospital?
The Pean Hospital, but it was the Emu Plains auxiliary. And I started that, and I was president of that and secretary of the guild. And at one stage, at the same time, I think I was president of Inner Hoyle, and the girls, you'd say, "What are you today, Mum?" And I'll say, "I'll have a look which badge I have." And my husband was just the same, because you were absolutely in everything. And we thought it was magnificent to go to any sort of function, from a dinner to speeches or prize giving, that if we didn't either of us have to make a speech, that was wonderful. And it really was.
So that would really have taken up a lot of your time.
Yes, a great deal of time.
Various organisations mm-hmm. that you belong to.
Yeah. But
and I suppose you got to know a lot of people in the area through this.
Yes, you do. I don't know. I got to the stage before they started the where the Plaza building is now, and there were quite a lot of shops coming into High Street in Penrose. I said, came home once, said, "You know, I walked down the street today and I didn't know anyone." My husband said, "No, and I suppose nobody knew you," which was quite right.
And in the old days, it was quite
different.
Yes,
you know everybody. I loved coming through all that period. I think it was wonderful. I didn't like World War One, like World War Two, and we still had the orchard behind us. And if I saw my mother and my sister, I had one sister and two brothers, if I saw them coming down through the orchard, I'd think, who's been killed? Because I was pregnant the three times, and they wouldn't try to, they tried not to worry me, and they'd come down, and until they got here, I think, who was it now? That was a very grim time.
So you had all your children during that period of the war?
And we had them with a great deal of thought, and I guess prayer. Mm-hmm. That was the thing we should do. Mm-hmm. But I can remember going up to the Guild one day. I didn't have any help at the time. I had the three children. Patsy, the youngest, was in a carry basket. And I got halfway through the meeting and I looked up and I said, "I can't do this any longer until the children are older." So someone should be there temporarily. By the time you get two toddlers and feed a baby and get them all dressed.
That and all your activities must have kept you very busy.
But still, I don't, although I'm still in a lot of things, excuse me, I don't go to a lot of meetings. Jennifer, the girl who was just here, said, "No, Mum, but you've got a great ministry on the phone," because I ring people up to see how they are. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. Because you can't be exactly idle.
No.
I could be lazy, I think, if I let myself, but I was brought up not to sit down. You see this, the tapestry and the knitting.
Yeah. You're brought up to make the most of every moment. And in those days before television, I suppose you've had to find things to do.
Yes, well, you said, how did we entertain ourselves? My sister played the piano. We used to sing around the piano and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And did you go out to theatre and...
Not a lot of theatres. We used to go to the pictures, I suppose, sometimes. Anything special we'd go to in the city. Mm-hmm. I suppose we saw all the musicals and things like that. Even if we went to a matinee. But when I was, before I was married, and my sister was married, my mother and sister and I used to go to Sydney every Friday. We'd shop and then we'd go to a picture theatre somewhere. Mm-hmm. I often thought my poor father getting the bills.
And did your mother help you with your children and... babysit for you occasionally?
And not very often. If they were sick, she'd come down, or I'd take them there. Mm-hmm. But she was such an accomplished person. She made all their layouts. And, I can't really make good pastry now or scones, because she'd do it. Or if you... we learned dressmaking and music and so on, and my mother would say, "Oh, give that to me, I'll put the sleeve in, I'll do it in half the time." But you have to gradually learn.
And did you make your children's clothes?
Yes, quite a lot of them. Mm-hmm. You have to with three children. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realise for a long time that they hated being dressed alike. I would get three, or if occasionally if I bought good dresses or had them made, they'd be the same. And then once they went out and they were in different clothes, and I heard one say to the other, "No one will know we're sisters," which I thought was lovely.
And what about sport? Did the children play sport?
Yes, they didn't play a lot. We played a lot of tennis, and we decided that the best. My husband loved golf. I didn't like it much, but we decided that as we had children, we're having a young family, we should have a tennis court. So I went up to my father and I said, "Father, I think we'll put in a tennis court." And he said, "That's interesting, because my brother had said the same thing." I said, "I know what we can do. We can have it between our two houses." So we did. And I found yesterday in the Guild notices that we played here every Thursday afternoon for a sum of 2 shillings. But other than that, we played. I had a lot of tournaments here for the church and charity, all day ones. And also, before I was married, my family was two other people, won the B grade tennis competition. We played a lot of tennis.
And do you think the children these days still play as much sport?
No, they don't play nearly enough. I feel, even with their grandsons, I feel they don't play enough. But one of my pet things, there are too many armchair sports people.
Yeah, watching the television.
But, they're active. I wouldn't say their grandsons were not active. One of them's very sport-minded. But I bet not get on. My grandchildren are such a varied lot.
Do they come to visit you often?
Oh, yes, we see them. But this isn't on, is it?
Talking about finance, the family housekeeping, who took care of the family accounts and so forth?
You mean since I was married?
Yes.
Well, I don't think we had a housekeeping allowance. I hadn't been used to one at home. Whatever was to be paid was paid. And I suppose we started like that. And then my husband thought it might be a good idea if I had a housekeeping allowance. But as I often didn't do the shopping, he did it because he was out. He found that he was giving me the housekeeping and doing the shopping. So I think we left it off for a while. But then we started again on a housekeeping allowance, which means I pay anyone who's working, all that sort of thing. So he'd worry about that.
And I suppose you paid most things, you paid for cash, most things. You didn't have credit cards?
No, we didn't, but I think all things in my pre-wedding era, and I think afterwards, we paid a lot of bills by the month.
Monthly.
Yeah.
And what about the animals? Did you keep any cows or?
Yes, we had. Yes, we at Jodala we had our own chooks and cows, horses and pigs. I was awful whenever they were going to kill a pig. I used to go down and watch. I must have been very bloodthirsty when I was little. I'm not now, but we had an abundance of all food, and I think that was wonderful, even through both wars. And when Father had the grazing rights, because had the title to it on this bank, we could walk across the banks without shoes on. But once the raid was put in and nobody looked after it, it was dreadful. They've now cleaned it up within the last 6 months, I suppose.
When was this raid put through, River Road?
About 1939. Now, when we were here, we only had water from the windmill until
that was river water, wasn't it?
Yes, and then we had a rainwater tank. Also, we still have, but then my father and my husband put a pump down on the river bank. Well, we had plenty of water then, but if a flood was coming, you'd get some sort of warning. Someone would ring you up along the river and tell you. And even in the middle of the night, my husband would have to go down and bring the pump up. Because if it was covered with water, it took a very long time to dry out and get him working again.
And the water was clean enough to drink in those days.
Yes, it was. Oh, well, we didn't drink it then, and we didn't up at Jadala. We always had rainwater. It was a tank and the well.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a well here, but we have the tank. And when it rusted, we got another one because we accustomed to rainwater. Mm-hmm. And I used to, days going to Sydney and having to drink Sydney water in Sydney. It was dreadful.
Still dreadful. did you have any pet animals, like dogs or cats?
Father always had a dog. We always had a cat. I once had a dog, a lovely collie, but Father didn't like it. When we were out one day, he gave it away. It sounded as though he was tyrannical. He wasn't. He was lovely. I adored my parents, and they were both so kind and loving. We grew up in love, and I think that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for people who didn't. And then my husband sent me a dog from Canamble, a little black cocker, and I called it Coon. But it was eventually stolen here on a regatta day. The only dog we had here, a pet we had here after that, I think Wendy had a corgi, and it was stolen, and then our son had a little dog, but then they took them.
Mm-hmm. And talking about the regatta, that was a big event.
Yes.
It's always been a big event in Penrith.
Now, when I was in bed with Wendy in 1940, it was April, and that was when the GPS regatta was on in wartime. It was just after it had come up. And my husband and the sister used to get in a car and follow the race down. There weren't any people. We earlier on, when it was at, in Sydney, we used to go down there and stay the weekend.
It only came up here in about 1940, did it?
Yes, or just slightly before, but only just because they could get the eight crews across. They didn't have to have the heats on the Wednesday and then the final on the Saturday. But after it was here and it became a very big thing, we used to have a gill stall down at the finish on one of our members. I'd be down there at eight and we'd make sandwiches and do all the things and sell this and that. Charged them to come into her property. Then we always had people staying here, and I'd come home and have a party always at night. I don't know where I got the energy. You do it when you're young, and you do all your own cooking. No buying.
So, these days it's quite different, isn't it? There's so much takeaway food.
Yes,
and
you can buy so much.
And so, I think. Is there anything else that comes to mind when you think about the early days and how things have changed over the period of the 50s and 60s?
I would have finished riding then. I used to ride a horse. But
did you?
Yes. We had two horses when we were younger. One was slow, that's the one I used to, Max, because the Maxina was a slow dance. And the other one was rather fast. We called it Jazz. And that was one thing. My brother and sister, Earl, and I used to go out in riding groups at night. Because there wasn't a lot of motor traffic.
Mm.
And they loved doing it.
So thinking you couldn't do that?
No, you couldn't do that now.
And when you mentioned the Maxina being a slow dance and so forth, did you do a lot of dancing?
Yes, we had a lot of dances. Mm. I suppose that was one of the main things at night.
Where did you go to the local?
In Penrith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they used to have them in the Masonic Hall.
Mm.
And I don't think St Stephen's had them in their parish hall. They had to have theirs at the Masonic Hall too.
And so, generally, looking back at those old times and reflecting over your life before the great changes started to take place around here, do you think generally it's better or worse, or how does it make you feel?
Well, I think you have to have progress. I read the word traditionalist isn't really good, but I think I am. I'm like the old ways, and I still like the old bread and butter letter within 24 hours and that sort of thing, because I was brought up to it. But I think you have progress. My parents were very progressive.
Mm-hmm. And
One of the big things in the 60s, of course, was the changeover from the old hospital to the new one. Mm. And we made sure the first person to go in it was the editor of the Nepean Times, which was the only paper we had in those days, I think. And we had to get people down from the Air Force to help move them over.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband being the chairman, I went in to get a job too, and I was counting out all the cutlery into all the wards. There were so many things to do. It was a very interesting thing.
Did you do that as voluntary work?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
wives were expected to do all kinds of things.
Were they all voluntary work?
Oh, yes. It was all part of living, I think.
And you didn't object to that?
No, I've never been paid for anything. I did a lot of work, I suppose, as a man. I could. You wouldn't believe
you?
It now,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you would.
I don't think so. But my mother always said, if she was in the audience, she'd be smiling at me. She always said to me, "Why don't you smile more?" And I found I couldn't. But I know once we were doing it afternoon and evening in the, as you called it, the Avon Theatre, and I hated walking on a catwalk that was trestle tabled. It's so unsure.
Mm.
And I got so overcome that they had to sit. I had to sit down in the dressing room and put my head between my legs before I could go on again.
Felt faint.
But I really am so tired of public life. I'm still a member of Inner Wheel, some things, but my daughter, who's also been a president of it, eldest one, said, "Why don't you come to the meeting, Mum?" I said, "Can't stand it. Same thing over and over again."
You've had enough of that.
Yes, I've had enough.
Mm. And it was a very big part of your life?
Pardon?
It was a very big part of your life.
Well, yes, it was. Well, I just thought it was part of living.
Yeah.
We were brought up to do what came along, and I suppose, whether you liked it or you didn't. One of the things I didn't like when I was young was that you came into such contact with death, as it was. When I was at primary school, we were all told to take flowers. An elderly man had died, and we made a wreath out of the willow things, and all took flowers and did them. And I was one of the people who had to take them. And in those days, if anyone died, you were always taken in to see the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I suppose, we accepted it. I can remember doing it time and again.
Really?
But I wouldn't like my children to do it. But
that's something
that
has changed, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Children, I think, are sometimes protected from that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, twice a child died, and my sister was one of them. They carried the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long way. They had to keep changing before it took four of them. And it was a long way to walk from these houses up to wherever the cemetery is on the top of the hill.
Can I ask how your sister died? Was it an accident or was it
my sister?
Oh, it wasn't your sister.
Oh, no, oh. No, she carried the...
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you remember the influenza epidemic here? This is going back a bit.
That was after World War I.
Yeah.
My father nearly died with that, and we didn't have the phone on.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Shepherd did the next house. And one of us went over to ring the doctor, and evidently Mother thought the doctor should be here by now. Another of us was sent over, but we all had to wear masks. But Father got better.
And so I think we've just about covered everything, but I just wondered if you'd like to maybe, in your mind's eye, describe how the countryside was and how you felt about it back in the days before the war, and compared to what it's like now, and how you feel about it now, the landscape.
Well, I suppose it's very different. My father, having been born here, and I'm fourth generation here in Emu Plains, Penrith, he always referred to it as green and grassy Emu. And you could stand on the hill and look down over the parks, and it was. Now you stand on the hill and you look at reefs.
Mm-hmm.
I say reefs because our English friends always say that Australians say roofs. So ever since they said that to us, I say reefs. I don't like the traffic. When we first lived here, we could have a meal out on the front Also, and I suppose this applies to everywhere in New South Wales, we could sleep out on a veranda. I don't remember having to lock the car always. We certainly didn't lock the house. But nowadays, I don't go to our daughter either side of us without locking her house.
Mm.
It's a dreadful state, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But we've had some funny experiences, a lot of them with Brian's practice, because I've had to get the children up in the middle of the night and take them with us because he had to make a will somewhere and he needed two witnesses. But another time, it was the evening of a holiday like yesterday, someone came to the door and my husband came back in. He said, I have to make a will and I want three witnesses. Wendy, you'll have to come with him, my mother and me. He's a marksman. And I said, what religion's a marksman? He said, he makes a mark and you have to have three witnesses. So down we went to this, and he was absolutely in his right mind. He was an elderly man, and Brian read the will back to him. He said, yes, that's what he wanted, and made his mark, and we signed it, witnessed it. And as the children were going to the train the next morning, the undertaker was there.
Oh, really?
So, these are sort of emergency things.
Yes.
And another one, we had to get up and take children in a hurry. It was winter. About midnight, and this old lady wanted to have a will made. When we got up there, the house was in darkness, and my husband couldn't rouse anyone, so he went into the neighbour and said, I was asked to come up to see this old lady tonight. She said, oh, she feels better now, so she's not going to bother. It was great. Can you imagine people doing it now?
No.
We're not on, are we?
Yes. Yeah. And so looking back then at those times, sort of through the 40s into the 60s, the main things that you don't like are the traffic and
I think
and
so.
The lack of security.
Yes, I don't like that.
Mm.
I don't like the modern young people's way of life, the way they accept anything. To me, it's wrong. A thing is right or wrong. My father used to say there is no grey. Things are right or wrong. And I think that's right. I know it makes my parents sound very terrible, but they were the most loving, helpful, generous people. They used to be called I shouldn't say this on tape, the Benevolent Society of Emu Plains.
Really?
Because they were in a position to help and they did so, and they brought us up to do it. It mightn't be much. I found a letter last night from a lady who was to be a guide commissioner here, and she wrote to thank me for appointing her and also for helping to buy her uniform. Otherwise, she couldn't have bought it.
Mm.
And that was in 66, and I said to my husband, I didn't even know I had.
Mm.
But you do it where you can.
Mm. And so you've really probably been quite instrumental in setting up a lot of organisations in this
well,
area.
Well, we've helped.
Yes, because you've lived here
long. My husband restarted the Chamber of Commerce. He was in the council and on the hospital. He was, and with wartime, he was also secretary for the Food for Britain.
Mm-hmm.
We worked in just about every avenue.
And it sounds as though you were as busy as he was.
Well, we both were. Yeah. We worked together as much as we could. But also, in Emu Plains, my mother and some other ladies started supporting a cot in the Scarborough home. The Benevolent Society was called the Emu Plains Scarborough Cot. That was collected for every year. I don't know how many cots there are there now. I found one of the books last night with the collection money in, because after Mother died, my sister and I did it. And as each of our family died, instead of flowers, we've had money sent to the Benevolent Society and down another cot, perpetuity. Because, I hate talking about the things we've done because it sounds dreadful.
Oh, no, not at all.
I think it
not
is.
Not at all. But, and so I think we've just about covered everything. If you can think of any other little thing that comes.
Well, there are only the things like the electric railway starting and the city being made.
That made a big difference to the area.
Yes, it did. Mm. And my husband and Adrian, a son who was young, went down, came up in the train. But we used to have processions and New Year's Eve was a wonderful time when I was young because the shop stayed open in Penrith and everybody went into Penrith. You didn't have
New Year's
Eve. Yes, and you didn't have all these big presents. You had nice presents and Santa Claus came. But it was not the big fuss and all the pre-parties.
Wasn't it?
No, there are now. Mm.
So it was more relaxed and enjoyable.
Yes. Mm. But going on and off, is that finishing?
It's warning us. Well, thank you very much.
Well, would you like a cup of tea or coffee now?
Thank you, that'd be lovely.
Which would you?